Years ago, long before I became Kensington romance author Dana Becker, someone gave me a useful piece of advice. I was working as a librarian in a prison at the time, and an older inmate marched up to the circulation desk and slammed a book onto the checkout counter. Even without looking, I knew the book genre and could also guess its author. This was a person who had read so many Nora Roberts romance novels, and with such ardor, that her prison nickname was Nora Roberts. Sometimes this pleased her, sometimes she was touchy about it. "I know what you're thinking," she'd said to me that day, "but if someone's locked up, you don't get to judge what they read." Looking back on it now, I believe she understated her case. For a person who reads in captivity, the stakes can scarcely be higher. For this sort of reader, there is no such thing as mere escapism. An outsider ought to do more than reserve judgment. Better to listen closely and to learn from a captive's book decisions. Consider that prisoner of fate, Anna Karenina. Toward the end of her life, Anna sits on a train, reading by candlelight. She is transported by the images in her jaunty English novel, the kind of novel that Tolstoy himself had mail-ordered by the dozens as he wrote Anna Karenina. When we meet Anna on the train, with her lady's novel in hand, we see her trying, and failing, to match the story's images with her real life. When she read how Lady Mary had ridden after the hounds, teased the bride, and astonished everyone by her boldness, she wanted to do it herself. But there was no chance of doing anything. And twisting the smooth paper knife in her little hands, she forced herself to read. The hero of the novel was already almost reaching his English happiness, a baronetcy, and an estate. And Anna was feeling a desire to go with him to the estate. But then something strange happens. As Anna falls deeper into her English novel, a wave of shame washes over her so unexpectedly and so suddenly that she is startled. Why? Anna wonders. Why shame? A reader of contemporary romance can relate. Romance readers are constantly shamed. The uncomfortable reading of a book on a train or plane is an old trope. Not long ago, romance publishers offered their readers the option of a false book cover to help hide the contents. I once heard a romance editor at Random House say that she sends her grandmother boxes of the latest romance novels, but we never discuss it. We never say a word about it. Excluding romance is a good way for a bookshop to be seen as serious. Many romance readers have stories of being shamed for their love of books, characterized by the happily ever after ending, or, as romance people call it, the HEA. The HEA is mandatory in romance. It is the definition of it, per the laws set forth by the Romance Writers of America, RWA. The HEA is, to romance readers, a non-negotiable principle, an inalienable right. Anna Karenina's own story, of course, is no HEA. Unlike the heroine of her English lady's novel, Anna herself does not ride after the hounds. There is neither baron to go with, nor any English happiness to be had for Anna. She casts herself under an oncoming train, the train that once gave her space to dream is, in the end, what kills her. This is meant as a brutal dramatization of the disconnect between the stories we read in novels and those we live in reality. When I was in my 20s, Anna Karenina struck me as not only heartbreaking, but in its portrait-perfect depictions of her character, also rather true to life. To my younger self, this tale also had something of a feminist bent, for its understanding of Anna as a human being and for the mirror it held up to her society. But now, as an adult, it mostly just pisses me off.